incense before you, O Lord God. We thank you. We can come before you with thanksgiving, praise on our hearts, O Lord. We're ready, Lord. Our hearts are prepared to hear your word. We thank you for Brother David en route to come here to deliver the word of the Lord to us. We thank you for our pastor. We continue to lift him up, Father God. Restore him, resurrect him, Father God. Those things that he needs in his body. You're the source. You have all the spare parts. You have everything he needs, Lord. There isn't anything, anywhere that has what he needs except you, Father God. Grant him wisdom and understanding, knowledge as he moves forward, Lord, as he progresses in his healing, Father. So we thank you for healing power to continue to flow to him in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So we are still on this trail. I know we got off a little bit. We've been talking about Jonah. We've been talking about revival. Those are key points, key topics. And we were thinking about, you know, Jonah wasn't thinking the same way that God was thinking. So I say to myself, am I thinking the way God is thinking? That's kind of an important thing. You know, we want to move forward in our Christian life, and we say, are we thinking God's thoughts? And those are promises he gives to us as we continue to renew our hearts and our minds, you know. And so while I love looking at lessons in storylines and in narratives, I love looking at lessons, I find myself grabbing a different lesson than other books that I've read. I love the other books that I've read, and there's definitely lessons to learn according to that man's revelation, according to that woman's revelation. There's definitely things to learn, but sometimes the scope of the narrative is a little wider, a little deeper than what we can imagine. Jonah had lessons to learn, thinking the same thoughts. Can you imagine God would love those people that much? That he would want to save and deliver them from the destruction that he has said. And not that I'm probing into the dark parts of your heart and your mind. I'm not playing with your head. I'm saying, how do we order our thoughts in regards to those people that we meet? You know, because there's a lot of wicked people out there. But everybody gets an opportunity. And sometimes you're going to be the vocal piece. You're going to be the mouthpiece that they hear about the love of God. It's going to be you. It's going to be by things you've done, works of kindness, as Brother Allen was sharing with us, doing good works, works of kindness, and continuing to preach the word of God to them, because there is no salvation in a good work of kindness, but it might be a sign to somebody. It might be a sign. It might be a thought to them, to turn their attention away from their problems and their wickedness, if you don't mind, and turn their eyes upon Jesus. He's the salvation. He's the light. He's the one. So here's Hezekiah did that. I backed up a couple kings. We're getting ready to, if you remember from the last couple weeks, we've been marching down through these kings, but there's lessons. There's things that are happening in society that we're not reading this just to get Bible knowledge. Oh, I remember Brother Bill teaching this story. It's way above Bible knowledge. It's way above that. It's not just that you remember these stories. It's how did they affect, how did God's hand upon the situation affect these people? Did it turn them to God? Or did they turn away from God? And I want to stay away from that. I want to learn that lesson from that. There is only one God. There's only one God that we see. There's only one God who is good. God is good to us. And so we fix our attention on that. We fix our hope on that. And so we're moving through our own life, our own generation. This was another generation. Josiah was being, he's the one that we're talking about now as we're moving forward through these kings. Amon was a rascal. He only reigned a couple of years. He wasn't a good person. Now that's, when I say that, it's like, don't look at me and say, don't judge him. I'm telling you what he did. He led the people astray. Is that a good person? So make up your mind, right? And it's okay. You're not bringing railing condemnation on that person. You're just saying what it is. Jesus just said what it was. You're of your father, the devil. Okay? This is what he said, and there was a time, and there is a time, that there will be a judgment, and goats and sheep are going to be gathered, And the good and the righteous and the unrighteous will be gathered, and there will be a separation. Those who live for Jesus, who confessed him with their mouth, that he was Lord, those who live for God, they shall be saved. He that endures to the end, that should be saved. I don't want to get off on another topic. Please don't split hairs with me in these matters. I'm speaking in a very general sense. Do you understand the plan of salvation? Do people understand it? Do we think we can just come in and out of church every day like it's happening Sunday all across from sea to sign sea? People are coming to church every day that they come to church. Is that salvation for them? And I say no. But that's a good thing. You come into the house of the Lord. You come in to pray. You come in to do whatever you're coming in to do. Fellowship with others. Speak counsel with other people. But that act of coming to church is not your salvation. It's just a good practice. It's a good practice to meet in the house of the Lord. Jesus is your salvation. So we're moving through here. We see Hezekiah. And he had a son in the last 15 years of his life. And the Bible tells us he put his whole heart into what God put into his hand. Let's be honest about it. Where did the seed come from that was planted in him to rebuild and renew the temple and to renew the covenant? To me, the Spirit of God put that in him. He simply responded to it. And that's the key. You turn, you respond to the things that God's telling you to do, and you begin to move towards it. So we're learning life lessons. It's not just a narrative that we memorize and a Bible fact that we lay hold of. It's how does this influence my life for good? How can I be, turn like he turned, put my whole heart into the work of God and do it? Am I going to make mistakes? I'm not going to try to. You have to measure your own life, and I'll judge mine. Thank you very much. You judge yours. So moving forward in these things, absolutely, this has to be that. We have to be supportive of one another. When your brother fails, what are you going to do? Kick him to the curb? Or are you going to lift him up? It's your choice now. What would Jesus do? That kind of thing. Remember that Stephen Janet back in like the 80s? That was like a thing. They used to wear the bracelets to school, you know, right? But that's good. That's good. Our kids had them. Our kids wore them. What would Jesus do? That's a good thought. Because sometimes Jesus wouldn't do what I'm thinking. But what I found out, what I was thinking wasn't right. But nevertheless, he's molding you and he's developing you and he's planting thoughts in you. Godly thoughts. Thoughts of love. Higher thoughts. Why do you think he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts and my ways are higher than your ways? Because they are. So we lay hold of these things. So moving forward in this, not unfortunately necessarily, if you don't already know these facts, these Bible facts, Josiah was an interesting character. Those of you who are Bible students, you know that his name, Josiah, was brought up by the prophetic scripture a couple hundred years before he was born. Just like Silas. Now, Cyrus, you might remember that. You might have a good grasp on the fact that Cyrus was prophesied, Isaiah 44, 45, in that area. Cyrus was spoken of by name, by a prophet, of a man that would come and bring the people back to Israel, release the people, and the temple would be built again, and he would finance it. We know that. But did you know Josiah had the same thing happening in his life? So if you don't know that, that's where we're going to go and visit, because why is that important? Oh, that Brother Randy's going to educate you on a Bible nugget? No. God actually has a plan. He actually has a plan of redemption to bring us from wherever we think we are to a place of his glory that your life would count in your generation. And he already warned us of this man, Josiah, and even told him where he was going to come from. So let's go back and visit that. So turn your scripture, please. back to 1 Kings. We're going all the way back to 1 Kings 11. We're going all the way back to Solomon's end. This is where we it says here in verse 1. Now Solomon loved many foreign women along with the daughters. This is not about Solomon, but you can see pretty quickly. Well, it is about Solomon, but my message isn't about Solomon. That's what I mean to say. He loved foreign women, the daughters of Pharaoh, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and all these women. We know, I know you have the Bible knowledge, drew him away from God. This is what happens. You get distracted in life. In his case, it was women. Well, what is it in my case? So this is Bible lessons that we learn from the narrative. What is it that draws me away and takes my attention off God? What is it? Cars, money, job? What is it? Well, a lot of us have cars, a lot of us have money, a lot of us have jobs. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with it in itself. But does it take your attention away from what God wants you to do? In Solomon's case, it did. So we will peruse down through. And verse 14, now this is what we've seen God do over and over again. He's still doing it way up in Josiah's day, when Josiah's born. We see the pattern of God, and he has been doing this even before Solomon's day. This is a pattern. So if God did it before Solomon and he did it after Solomon, it doesn't shock me at all if we see God raise adversaries up against the United States of America. Now, this is not me going political on you now. I'm just saying, how does God put his hand of destiny upon the life of a nation and steer the life of a nation? Even the hand of God was on Assyria. The hand of God was on Babylon. If you care to read the story about how these nations were raised up, according to Jeremiah's prophecy, he raises up nations, then he brings them down. This is what he cares. God cares about me. He cares about you. He cares about the Ukraine. He cares about Russia. This is modern. This is our modern times. This is the destiny that we live in, and this is the only one you get to be a part of. We didn't get to be a part of this, but hopefully, we'll learn some lessons from this. Hopefully. This is what we have to do. We have to have a glorious expectation that God is going to do what he has done, and he's consistent, and he will continue to do it. So he will raise up adversaries against a nation who walks away from him. Is that not true, or is it true? Yes, he has done that in the past. And will he do that today? Absolutely, he will do that today. So let's let that go for a second. Verse 14, then God, Lord raised up adversaries to Solomon. He lists these adversaries. And again, I want to move down a little farther. Verse 23, these are nations. These are kings of nations, leaders, men of authority, men of power. This whole narrative, it's not my topic, but nevertheless, I'm trying to get to Josiah. I'm not off on a rabbit trail. Josiah is a part of this, and we're going to see his signpost come up as we read. Verse 23, God also raised up another adversary to him, Rezin, the son of Eliada. And so these people were raised up. Verse 29, then Jeroboam, that name we kind of recognized. This is, yes, indeed, you already know, Jeroboam the first. This man, who is he? Watch. Then Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephraimite. Who is that? Ephraim. Who is that? Ephraim, the son of Joseph, one of the 12, right? Joseph had two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. That's his two sons. We see them constantly in Old Testament scripture, even all the way up into Josiah's day. We will see it as we get back over to 2 Chronicles 24. We will see those names pop up. So this was a young man from Ephraim. Jesus is not coming from this tribe. We know that, okay? But this is fascinating. The love of God, how the hand of God can move in nations, and how God can change the destiny of a man and change the destiny and the effect of what he put his hand to. This is fascinating. He can take a perfectly unrighteous man and he can cause a nation to rise up in him, and he can set him as a king in charge of things. Why is that such a mystery to us? Why? If we see it in the Old Testament, and we've seen he's done this and more than one times, look what happens. He's a Zerubbabel, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zura, a widow. He rebelled against Solomon. He, for whatever reason, we don't know. But if you don't, can we read between the lines here? There was political circumstances and situations happened. He was an Ephraimite. The Lord, when I woke up early this morning, this word kept coming to me. Watch your loyalties. You have interesting things happening in today's society in this very hour. And I saw it back I didn't understand. I'll be honest with you. In the Reagan administration, you know, because I live in the state of Pennsylvania, there was a particular senator in Pennsylvania who's passed now. He's gone on to be with whoever he decided to serve while he lived in this life. I'm not his judge. He jumped ship. He was a Democrat. You see this happening right now. He decided to become a Republican because he knew there was no chance. No chance. Reagan was definitely going to win the election. Mondale got 3 electoral votes. 3. Reagan got 470 electoral votes. Again, I'm not being political. I'm just saying the tide of things. When the tide of things were moving in the day of Solomon and he couldn't recognize what was going on in society, he made a whole lot of wrong choices. But these stories we read, we weren't living there, so it wasn't our time and our destiny, but we do live in this hour, so better pay attention to what's happening on around us. You know, I'm certainly going to be there to vote. I'm going to place my vote, but we live in a different time, in a different era. So he was raised up. Verse 29. Oh, let me go to 28. And now the man Jeroboam was a valiant warrior. And when Solomon saw that this young man was industrious, he seems like he's not, he's like the guy you're going to pick on your team. You know, you want this guy to be on your team. This is interesting. The choices that our current candidates are picking. I'm picking you. And I'm scratching my head. It's like, why would you want them on your team? But anyway, I'm not saying those things to raise a joke, because it is indeed funny to see how we choose our loyalties. If you don't mind, if I'm allowed to talk about loyalties, what if you're loyal to something, and this was very tribal back here, and we'll see it in a minute. If you choose to be on the side of something that's not loyal to God, why would you choose that side? So moving forward, he was industrious. He appointed him over the forced labor of the house of Joseph. He appointed him. You can almost see a bigger picture of a political outcome here. Who was he? He was one of the sons of the house of Joseph. And they made him the boss of the forced labor. So you might ask the question, brilliant as you are, I know you all see this right away when you're looking at this, why in the world was Ephraim and Manasseh being forced to labor? What happened to society that they were overtaxed, overburdened, overworked? What is happening in society at this time? Just a thought. It gives you a better and a bigger picture of what's about ready to happen. It came about, verse 29, when Jeroboam went to Jerusalem, this is God now meddling in the affairs of humanity, if you don't mind. How's he going to do that? He's going to send a prophet. That's how he's going to do that. And the prophet is going to have a word of the Lord on his lips. And we have to pay attention to that constantly in Scripture, or you'll miss it. Well, not miss it, but you'll not get the full impact of the story and how it affects my life. You know, I've been here. I've been sitting in a chair with you people when men of God come today. Perhaps it would even happen today. Don't kick it to the curb or knock it off the table. The word of the Lord may come to Brother David, and he might have a prophetic word for somebody. Don't let that prophetic word go. Paul told Timothy to hold fast to the prophetic word that was given to him. And you will be able to run with that. So don't forget about the prophetic words that are spoken over your life. Very important. I drew that inspiration from here right now. When Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, here comes Jeroboam. He's walking out of Jerusalem. He must have been at a business meeting. All right, I'm being a little bit reading in between the lines here. He was talking to king about how there was too much injustice in his tribes. Whatever, I'm guessing, I'm saying, I'm elaborating on the story a bit, because there had to be a story here. Not making any doctrines or conclusions. A prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him on the road. Now the prophet found him. I want you to know, God will find you. You can't hide anywhere. He will find a way, and he will come to you, and he will speak to you through whatever means and whatever is necessary. That gives me great hope. You know, I pray for people, and I'm thinking to myself, Lord, send someone to them. Send someone. And here he comes. He said, now Ahijah had clothed himself with a new cloak, and both of them were alone in the field. Just picture the story. This is amazing. Both of them alone in the field. There wasn't anything. It was the sky above them, whatever. And Ahijah took hold of the new cloak, which was on him, and tore it into 12 pieces. This is a significant piece of history. There's going to be some catastrophic event happen right here in time and in history. And it's going to there's going to send ripples everywhere in the plan and purpose of God. He said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces. 10 pieces of the cloth, the torn robe. For thus says the Lord, hold fast to this. He was sure of it. Thus says the Lord. I love that when the prophet says it that way. Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and give it you 10 tribes. This is what was going to happen. This is what did happen. But he will have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was in the kingdom of Judah. That was the man. David had a covenant with God. See, we have to jump back another generation and read the narratives. Pastor Bill's preached on these things many times about the covenant that David had when David was alone with God and he prayed before God, and God made a covenant with him that the government would rest upon the shoulder of his seed, and that he would never lack a man to sit on his throne. So many aspects of the covenant. Those covenant things go all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and it's rested on Judah, and now it's come to David, who is of Judah, that there would be a king come from him. We know that king in the future to be the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we know. This is connecting dots. Let's see what happens here. This is their destiny, their time. Way, way long ago, before our time. So he says here, because, why? Why would he do this? Why would he tear this apart? He's telling you, it's not a big mystery. Because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chishmoth, the god of Moab, Milcom, the god of the sons of Ammon, and they have not walked in my ways, doing what is right in my sight and observing my statutes and my ordinances as their father David did. This is why judgment was coming at this time. And when we look at Josiah, we'll see how significant the very same thing is. The people of Judah, the people of Israel, turned their back on God. And in Josiah's day, the wrench is turned so much that it can just be spun off with your thumbnail. It's so loose. There's no fixing their self to the living God anymore. It's loose. It's rattling. Everything in the kingdom in the days of Josiah begins to rattle and begins to get ready to fall apart. Jeremiah is going to be raised up 13 years, you know, beyond where Josiah will be at it. And Jeremiah, everything that you see in Jeremiah is happening during the days of Josiah. Josiah's even going to die in the midst of Jeremiah's preaching, and other kings are going to be raised up, Josiah's sons. It's fascinating time in history, because things are going to begin to move fast. The sled begins to move fast now to the demise, to opening the door for Babylon to come in. He's hardly even going to have to knock at the door. Sin has brought this nation to such a place that it's all, you almost want to say hopeless, but I don't want to be dark about this. God always gives hope. He always gives hope. He always brings light. It's a dark time for them. And this was a dark time for them as they move forward. Watch what happens. Nevertheless, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand. Solomon's hand, okay. But I will make him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose. See, God does things for the sake of his name, his covenant. It's all for him. He's not doing you a favor, but he favors you. Don't think it's you or anything you've done. It's because he's made a promise, and he will not go back on his promise. So let me move forward in this. It says here, but I will take the kingdom from his son's hand and give it to you, even 10 tribes. This was the big split that was about ready to happen. But to his sons, I will give one tribe. That would be Judah. Judah is the apple of the eye. Judah is the one. And the place where God said his name in Jerusalem was the place where David captured. That's where David had got the plans to build the temple. That's where Solomon built the temple, and the presence of God came in like a cloud to the place where the priests couldn't even minister. You remember those stories? These are amazing things. The presence of God was there in the temple. It was there at this time. It didn't leave yet. We don't see it leaving until Ezekiel begins to see it in vision. And Ezekiel is beyond Josiah, even beyond Josiah. In the middle of the time of Jeremiah, Ezekiel has a vision of the presence of the Lord lifting up to the pinnacle of the temple, and then it lifts up to the mountain, and then it's gone. And we won't see anything like this again until Jesus comes in a manger. We're slipping up on what we call the Christmas season, and I'm not going to get into all that. I'm not positive about those dates, but whatever. I love the fact that we turn our attention to a baby boy in a manger. I love that we do this in skits and in plays and in songs. And let's continue to keep the name of Jesus before the world. They're trying to take it away from you, you know. They're trying to make you say it never happened or it's a story. Let's move on. But to his son I will give one tribe. My servant David will have a lamp always before me in Jerusalem, a city where I have chosen for myself and to put my name. I will take you and you shall reign. Oh, look at this promise to this seemingly insignificant man, Jeroboam. Seemingly insignificant. What kind of promise did he actually give to him? Now, there's no promise of salvation through him or to him, but is it okay if God makes you a great man? Is it okay whether you get the chance to influence the world with your life and in your time? That's basically was the promise he was given to him. Lead people to me. That's okay. He can use you to do that. He didn't say to him that salvation was going to come through him. Watch what happens. I will take you and you shall reign over whatever you desire. That's huge, all right? And you shall be king over Israel. What an amazing responsibility and gift he was given him. Now, God gives us gifts. And what do we do with it? That's all I'm saying. He's given gifts and grace. He gives talents. Can we talk about that in Matthew 24, 25, 26? He gives talents to men. And what do they do with them? It's the same principle that we see here in the Word of God. He's given him 10 tribes to have and to give them authority over their lives. Then it will be, this is that big little word that Brother Allen was talking about and I was talking about. If. Then it will be, if you listen to all that I command you and walk in my ways. See, it's not a carte blanche gift. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how you go. If is there. And do what is right in my sight. That's what's important. How does God think? Does God think it's right? How I treat them or how I say to them or what I do to them, does God think it's right? We judge our own life, you know. We don't point our finger at other people. What's right? Observing my statutes. See, that was all part of this package deal. Observe the commandments of God. You know, I say boo-hoo to people who think commandments are gone away with. I do not agree with you. I'm sorry. I believe that the commandments of God are still real. I've always known that they are not the plan of salvation, but they are the will of God. So why are you connecting commandments with the plan of salvation? Commandments are the way we should walk. If we didn't know the commandments, we wouldn't know how to do right. That's what Paul explains in Galatians. We start to understand it. It's our schoolmaster. It introduces us to the living God and shows us how we should live and how we should walk. This man had this to him, spoken to him. Obey my commandments, as my servant David did. Then I will be with you and build you an enduring house as I built David. If he did it with David, he can do it with this man. But he didn't give him a promise that salvation would come from his loins. He just simply gave him a promise if he will follow after him. So we're not trying to confuse anything here. We're trying to see what God was doing in the destiny of the world and humanity and through these people. I will give Israel to you. Thus I will afflict the descendants of David for this. You see it? But not always. Don't let that slip by you. Because we think, oh, God's done with Israel. God's done with this. Well, can we go here and read this again? Thus I will afflict the descendants of David for this, but not always. It's not going to be forever. There's going to be a time when God will move his hand upon that land again. But again, I'm not an eschatological teacher. I'm not saying, what are there going to be these events? Oh, Randy, tell me about that. Figure it out yourself. But let me give you a little clue. You go down that road, you will not figure it out because it hasn't been revealed to you. It hasn't been revealed. Jesus said it hasn't been revealed to me. And yet men say they understand and know. I just say, smile. Awesome. I'm happy for that. How's that working out for you loving your children and helping at your church in these things? These things that are necessary that we have to do. Being a servant of the Lord and being a witness to God. But no, educate yourself. Understand what God has done and he will do, and that should give you great hope and expectation of a second coming of Christ. Jesus is coming back again. Absolutely. Let me finish this. Solomon sought, therefore, Solomon's got spies everywhere. Leaders do this. They know about everything. How did this word get out? How did he find this out? Didn't we just read they were there alone in the field? But somehow, this got back to Solomon, whether it was through suspicions or lying devils or whatever, this word got back to Solomon. And he was going to put Jeroboam to death. This is what people do all the time. Let's just assassinate him. They're a threat to our future. It's not uncommon. This is what we have. So, moving forward, Jeroboam fled to Egypt, to Shishak, king of Egypt. It gives you time and place, if you don't mind, if you want to investigate that. He was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. The rest of the acts of Solomon, whatever he did, and his wisdom, are they not written in the book of the Acts of Solomon? Thus Solomon, the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. That was the end for him. Solomon slept with his fathers and he was buried in the city. I really didn't forget about Josiah. He's still coming up. I'm not sure I'm going to get to him today. But I want you to be aware of Josiah's name, just like this prophet Ahijah. And here's an interesting thing we'll get to. The man that spoke Josiah's name, they don't even tell us who he was. But see, we don't need to know. But we do know he's a prophet of God. As I said, we're not going to get to him this week. Then Jeroboam went to Shechem. Jeroboam went to Shechem, for all of Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. The progress of a political future. There was never a 10 tribes called Israel before. There was no such thing. Now you know where it came from. Right here. All signs point to this timeline of where the 10 tribes split off from the other two. Let's move forward. They made Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was living in Egypt. For he was yet in Egypt, where he fled from the presence of Solomon. Then they sent and called him Jeroboam. All the assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, Rehoboam was Solomon's son. We're about to coronate a new son. Solomon died. Rehoboam and Jeroboam are the two characters that we move forward in history, in Bible history, with as they move forward. Your father made our, and I'm not going to go through this whole story. Pastor Bill had preached on this swimmingly, by the way. Great messages from Pastor Bill regarding Rehoboam. Who educated this young man? I do not know, but he was not quite the man of God that we had hoped for. He was over now Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes that stuck together. They were like glue. They stuck together there. And so, I don't want to go through this whole narrative, if you don't mind. Let's move down farther. Verse 16, I'm in chapter 12 now. When all Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, that is, Rehoboam, they gave Rehoboam an option. Look, take this yoke off us. This is horrible, what we're going under. If you don't take this off, we're going to find us a new king and we're leaving. We're going to pack up our toys and we're getting out of here. This is the ultimatum. Ultimatums eventually happen in these matters. You're going to have to choose loyalties. You're going to have to choose sides. I bring that word up again, that the word woke me and told me. What about loyalties? This is what's happening today. Party loyalties. And for me as a Christian, my loyalty is to God, not to a man. And I know that you feel the same way. I'm preaching to a choir here. You know that you serve the living God. But you know you live here in the United States of America. And you try to live uprightly in this country. But they are presenting unrighteousness to us on a daily basis that we have to pay attention to. And we have to choose our loyalties. Moving forward, they saw the king didn't listen to him. What portion do we have in David? We have no inheritance with the son of Jesse. Well, this isn't necessarily true, but this is what they said. To your tents, O Israel, Now look after your own house, David. Family squabbles sometimes end up in an argument. Domestic. This was a domestic issue and a social issue. And look where it put these families that used to be bound together as one. And look what happened to them. A family tiff. And look what happens. People choose size. I'm sorry, it's right there. But as for the son, verse 17, as for the sons of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. If you choose to stay here, then he's your king. It doesn't matter. Well, it does matter to me, but I have to be honest about it. Whoever wins the election, is it a week away? Next week, next Tuesday, right? Whoever wins the election, it doesn't really matter who wins the election, even though you and I both have an opinion about who we would like to see win the election. You're still a Christian and a child of God, and you're still going to have to serve the living God. And I'm sorry these events happen this way or that way. The Lord hasn't told me who was going to win. And I haven't asked him, to be quite frank about you. I have an opinion who's going to win, but so what? We all do, right? Verse 19, so Israel has been in rebellion. This is what's going to set the course of political and social and economic and regional history in this land from this time to even today. Even today, this has affected these things. Political climates, nations against nations, all these things, they affect us in where we live and how we live. The effects that are going on in the Ukraine, those people were suffering over there. And we know that. And, you know, whatever way you can help or not help, whatever, stay abreast of the situation. How can you change that? Put a gun over your shoulder, take a plane, fly over there and fight the Russians. I mean, how do we think about what my life can be to influence and change that situation? You have to wait on the Lord for your own self and let him direct you in this matter. So Israel have been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. It came about when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had returned, they sent and called him to the assembly and made him king. He won the election, but none but the tribe of Judah followed the house of David. When that's a little bit incomplete, but nevertheless, we move forward. Now Rehoboam had come to Jerusalem. He assembled all the house of Judah. Again, the course and events of the life of nations are going to change because of a prophet. This is interesting. The word of God, if you stop respecting the word of God, like the political climate is trying to tell you today, disregard the word of God. Watch what happens here. Thank God it was a positive light. That positive thing happened here. Somebody had to wherewithal to listen, but watch what happens. Rehoboam had come to Jerusalem. He assembled the house of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men. If you know any history of Benjamin, you know that they are a fierce, fierce tribe. Benjamin was amazing as a tribe and as a war tribe. Amazing. Just so you know, 180,000 warriors to fight against the house of Israel in order to restore the kingdom to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. I know what we'll do. We'll go to war. That's going to solve this. Well, but the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the son of God, the man of God, saying, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the rest of the people. The prophet speaks to all of us, if you don't mind. Not just prophet speaks to prophet speaks to king, prophet speaks to leader and businessman. The prophet will speak to all of us, just so you know. And he says, thus says the Lord, verse 24, you must not go up and fight against your relatives, the sons of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing has come from me. God did this. He sent a prophet to start it, engaged with the people of Israel. He tried over and over again with Solomon to change his mind about his path. The last 20 years of his life. Tried over and over again and couldn't convince him to follow after him. And now it comes down to this, and we think we're going to solve the world's problems by going to war. Jesus solved the world's problems by going to the cross. What was the world's problems? War? No, the heart. It's your heart that's wrong. And he fixed it by giving his life on the cross. It's more involved than that, but that's the basics of it. Watch what happens. Must not go. So they listened. And I'm ending on this. It's good for us to hear the word of the Lord. Listen to what the prophet says. Listen to what the word of God says. They listen to the word of the Lord and return and went their own way according to the word of the Lord. Lord, send us where you want us to go. Lord, that we can be like these men, women of the Old Testament. We're going to read about Huldah, the prophetess. The prophetess who were sent by Josiah, sent to her to inquire of the Lord. So we thank you for her. We thank you the word of the Lord comes through women, through men, and they speak to us, and that we have ears to hear, and that we are moved by your word, Father God. So we thank you for this. Thank you for this word. In the name of Jesus, amen.